imparting you your every tendency, every thought, and extend. During these days here, we have had 4 or 5 talks on the different aspects of spirituality. So our purpose is to progress on the way. To progress on the way, there are certain things very essential. If they are not there, progress won't be there. First of all is regularity. As you take food daily for body, twice a time a day. Similarly, you are here for main purpose of giving food to the soul, bread of life, water of life, the capital of which each one of you had it. So first thing is regularity will only give you better food if you maintain the diary for self-introspection accurately. Generally, we don't care about the maintenance of diary in respect of the self-introspection. The result is not good progress on the way. Sometimes progress, sometimes receive. For that, you know, as the diary prescribes, to have no ill will for anyone. Even in thought, word, and deed. Thoughts are very potent. You say somebody will say something against me, what he should do. Blood cannot be washed away by blood. The water of life is required to wash it away. If anybody thinks of you, just for a while, consider calmly whether what he thinks, is there any truth in it? Examine your own self. If there is anything, be thankful for it. You see, either the enemy will tell you something which is not right in you, or sometimes close friend, as a matter of counsel and advice, because you have pulled out the particle. If that is not so, then forgive me, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray for them. That's the only way, otherwise this thought will rankle in your mind throughout. You will have no rest. Whenever you sit, that thing will creep up. Second is truthfulness, you know. No acting, posing your mind, your heart, your speech, your brain should be in unison. Only that is true, which is where these three things agree. Simply we say something, outer show. Heart thinks something else, brain is thinking of something else. These are the things to be watched very carefully. Nobody can watch you properly as you can yourself. You know better. If we do anything, we first deceive our own self. Not we deceive our own self, but the God in us is there watching our every action. He knows in the very tendency we are going. So, this is further comes out. Then comes the chastity of life. So they say, chastity is life, sexuality is death. The more chaste you become, the better. That will pay, you will have blessedness in you. When there is anything wrong, or lies, or imposing is done, and we have just acted as opposite to show something what we are not, the result is you build a big wall between you and the God within you. That curtain thickens. So always be true to your own self. Don't spare yourself. If we want to progress on the spiritual way, it is of most necessity. And further still thing comes up, we are all of the same essence as that of God. We are the absolution of all consciousness. We are all brothers and sisters in God. No high, no low, according to the reaction of the past. So we have our own positions in life. Some difficulties in life. That's another thing. But all the same, God has given us equal privileges. As physical body, as soul, as worshipper of the same power which controls all creation and controls us in the body. So man is one who lives for others. If your hearts are true, truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. If there is a light in the bulb, and bulb is besmeared with black dots, how much time to do that? Light is within you. Take heed that the light within you is not darkness. It is you have to watch. Nobody else can watch it for you. And if there a thing may come to somebody's notice, he might point it to you out of enmity to defame you, or out of hearty love for him, so that your brother may not be misled. So these are the things most necessary. Well, let money is lost, nothing is lost. If health is lost, something is lost. And if character is lost, everything. As I told you, regularity. But these are the helping factors to have success in your spiritual life. These are no new things I'm putting before you. Each one of you know better. You have to give a talk, I think you more speak more intelligently, more vehemently, go back to words, all the force at your command. But the only thing is we should be true to our own self. Everybody knows if a man has a lamp in his hand and falls into the pit, what to do? That power is within you, always watching your every action. Be true to it. That's the only fair talk of divinity, which will stand forever. If you take one step that way, 100 steps will come up. Otherwise, our failures in life, after how long you will conceal them? You conceal them not to the one within you see. He puts a thick curtain between you and him. So that is why it is prayer has come, you see. Oh God, we are thankful to you that you have kept this secret from the worldly wise and given to the babes. What does it mean? To an innocence. Innocent life. Innocent life had nothing of any of these failures and delights. So I wish you all progress, you see. That God power, Christ power, Guru power is in you. Sometimes speak to the human power to guide you. Because you do not listen to the dictates given by him inside. He gives once, twice, thrice, you don't listen to his talk. That you may call the voice of conscience. If you are true to your own self, you are not to be afraid of him, God, I would say. If you are true to your God within you, God does his act in heaven. He is permeating all creation, controlling all creation, and controlling you in the body. He is the nearest to you than your hands and feet. Keep your diary strictly. Don't spare yourself. If anything comes to you, need to beat out, please. Otherwise, how far? If you've got pain in the stomach, and how far you'll be acting for it? If you're taken poison, how far you keep quiet and acted for? You'll cry. This is the most necessary factor which goes to help your progress on the way. God within you is watching everything. He is watching the very tendency our mind is going. So in few words, I believe you know each one you better than what I have told to you that you know already. These are no new things I'm telling you. But the only thing is we are not true to our own self. Yes. Mouth should speak what is in our heart. Brain should think what we have got in our heart. We have progressed in head, I would say, not in the heart. That's the whole trouble. Brain thinks, you see, becomes selfish, hearted, narrow-mindedness, becomes boss, want to control everybody. He will even would like to surpass everybody at the sacrifice of all others. This is the result you find the troubles going on in the world today. The reason is why they are not the heart with them, you see. If your brain thinks and your heart, does it agree with you? I don't think. If you think to kill somebody, would your heart say yes, do it? No. So, heart in the seat of the soul, of God within you. Progress by head, but let the heart be with you. Then you will save many things. All atrocities, all these things come before you in the world today. This length. All this has come up. Why? Because we have progress only in head, not by heart. If those two have gone together, do you think the shooting will go on? So moreover, you are true to your own self, you see, remain where you are. This is a school of thought. The basic teachings for all is the same. God has created you with equal privileges. You've got body, soul, and controlling power, All are equal. So we have joined different schools of thought to just realize that unity that the Lord exists. If we are stuck into the bounds which are meant to give you development, progress, you do not come up to understand the principle for which God made man and also all these schools of thought came into being, then there's conflict. There will be stubbornness, so many things. So that I will be with you, always watching your every action. If you are true to Him, you are true to God. Be regular, disciplined of life, water of life. If your soul becomes strong, your heart is strong, that will be able to carry the broken carriage. Difficulty in your body or other intellect is strong, and spiritually we have little, very few, very frail. These are all I can place before you to the best as it comes to me now. I have not thought over it before talking, but this is what is needed. Be regular in your meditation, that's the breath of life. We should dwell all around. We should dwell physically, intellectually, and we should also dwell spiritually. Thrice blessed is man. Remain in contact physically too, through correspondence. And that will be when you send your diaries, two diaries. What I mean to say two diaries, that truly interprets what your thinking, mind, world and doing. What are doing in thinking, in my head, in thought, world and deed. Sometimes you see, diary is almost blank. And the result is given, I am putting in 2 hours, such and such, and no problem. What should I believe? You can deceive outside people, not to the one within you, already watching you. If your diary is all right, and you are putting regular time, accurately, there is no reason why you should not progress. The master power works. That's the Holy Ghost, you know, that works from time to time to guide you back. Listen to his voice. And remain in contact, that's all. We have been having meditation hours. And I hope each one of you must have felt better. If you go on like that with due respect to your self-introspection and weeding out all failures, under these heads that I have put before you, all of you got in diaries, God will help you more from day to day. So as I told you in my talk, every saint has his past and every saint has his future. There's hope for everybody. Don't be disheartened. You have some power to help you, hold your head. Those who have been initiate on the way, special. You are not all alone. Listen to it. Words within you And so long as you are not conscious contact with that power, remain in contact outside physical. I think what I am telling you, you must be appealing to you, each one of you. I am just talking to you from the level of man, as a man to man. Simple life and high thinking is what is wanted. A loving heart. No high, no low. He is most beautiful who has got the light of God refulgent in him. That house looks to be very beautiful in which electric bulbs are giving light. If there's no bulb there, then even the most magnificent house looks all dark. So this is what is required. I think you should take these into heart and live up to them. God will help you. For my wishes will always be here, there, anywhere. Because the astral form of the Master is with you always. And until, as I told you, you contact him consciously, face to face, within guidance from outside, that power working in the human soul is necessary. I think this will be just of all inspiration that can be given. So minimum time is given to you at 2 hours. At least this is binding. You can do more than Arnold Player. I remember in 1912 I had a Mormon professor. You see, men have the same youth, they have love. He would meet me, I would also go to meet him. This is a question 1912, I'm talking 60 years back. He had put on no admission without the permission in the house. So I was free. I was free to go to. Sometimes he went to and he would sing prayers in his own moment and way, sing prayers. In prayers, you see 5 times they sit, bow down, and then stand. And that is the general rule. When he went to, he used to say prayer for hours. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, simply watching. I once asked him, my dear friend, prayers have only 5 sittings, and you go on for hours. He says, 5 sittings are binding, Guja Mohammedan. And this I do to earn his will and playa. So to put in 2 hours, I think tight is a binding on each one of you, and if you do more, it will be honest player. This is your work, you have to do it. A man, love is bad, of course. A man is a thief. He wants any time to grab money, day or night. You're really after your spiritual progress. Snatch your time any time you can. The pity is where there's a will, there's a way. We have no will. That is why we are not able to give full justice to the world. And man body is the highest in all creation, and this is the golden opportunity we have got. In which we can do this, nobody else will do for you. and you have to go. Last night I was telling people now in their lectures and this and that thing, I have been talking to you on death alone. Five times main purpose was this is a golden opportunity, make the best of it. What is meditation? What is spirituality? What is a master who can guide you? What he gives? God, where is God? How can you find it? All these things were taught. From commencement to the end, we are talking on our word death, the name of which we do not like to hear. But with all that we have to pass through that. Death is no one where we have to leave the body. And generally you find anyone, they don't give you talk from it. So my best wishes are with you. Let's all get there. That power is within you. Watching you, your every tendency, every thought, and extending all feasible help and protection without asking for it. So it is a great blessing to have somebody living on earth like us to guide us. You're all dear to me. Why? Because you have been put on the path. As such, we are all brothers and sisters, real relatives. This is such a relation which cannot be broken after death. How fortunate you are. You do care. To do so, that's all of it. This is the sum total of all teachings in two words. If you will live by them, you will progress even more than me. I pray you all become ambassadors. But we should be sincere in word, thought, and deed. Now, as I am going today, all of you who have come from outside should have their own way back if they like. Those who would like to go further, if they can well afford it, their circumstances now have no objection. But there, perhaps you will have to make your own arrangements. What are possible, those people also will do, but don't go totally dependent on them. You follow my point now? Be regular in your meditation. No evil will for anybody. Be truthful. Be changed of thought and love for all. You are not born to live for your own selves. You are man. Man is one who lives for others, not for his own self only. And be regular in devoting your time to come in contact with all consciousness within you, which is controlling all creation and permeating all this. Remain in any social body you like. That is not that. The purpose of all that is to reach that. Purpose of marriage is also to have a companion, to help each other, to know one. That.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Christine Clevenger. Are you there, Christine?
Yes, I'm here, John.
Okay, carry on.
Okay, so I am continuing Master's talk. It is called Guru Bhakti. We are already doing some devotion of one kind or another. Devotion to children, devotion to relatives, to wealth, one's house, property, or enjoyments from the various senses. So masters say, O God, enslave me to thy slave. Make me a slave to he who is a slave to the word. We are slaves of the world, slaves to praise, recognition, family, enjoyments. For how long? For as long as we have breath in this carcass. This, then, is the first step, the benefit of which we are reluctant to take. I always advise that one should leave 100 other jobs and go to satsang. What kind of satsang, however? The kind where upliftment is felt, where there is a radiation, and where one can get the wealth of Nam. As long as one does not get a glimpse within, and one does not rise above the senses, and one does not practice self-introspection further, then no real advancement can be made. God's grace is upon us. Actually, there are three kinds of grace. The first is God's grace when he gave us the man body, within which one can receive that blessing of the yearning to realize him. There is water for the thirsty and food for the hungry. He arranges the meeting with the one in whom he has manifested. The second grace is from the Guru when he connects us to the Nam. We have now received two kinds of grace, and the third is the grace from our own soul. If we do not shower our own grace upon ourselves and practice true devotion, neither God's grace nor the Guru's can blossom forth and bear fruit. These are very clear words, very blunt. Take only one step, and millions of steps forward will be given to you. Just turn your face toward him. Keep only the company of those who are the true devotees of your Guru. Those who have broken away, their company will break you also. Kabir Sahib has said that one should run far away from the company of the broken ones. If even a single word gets into your ear, you will also break away. For he who has already left his Guru will tell you, "Oh, I have seen with my own eyes." It is possible that his seeing and hearing may be drenched in the color of an ulterior motive. Then, see for yourself. As long as you do not see with your own eyes and ears, do not trust anyone. Where does the real devotion start? In obedience. One Persian prophet said that if the Guru orders you to drench your prayer mat in wine, then do so. It is an unlikely thing for a Guru to order when one does not touch wine, but what is the meaning behind it? It means that it does not matter what he says. If you cannot understand from your own level, then be like a child just beginning primary school, who listens to the teacher say, 2 times 2 makes 4. Does the child stop to ask, why 4? When one is reading at trigonometry level in college, one will know why 2 times 2 makes 4. In the Ramayana, the advice is given, in mother, father, and the words of the Guru, have faith without thought. The Guru's dwelling place is not the physical form, so why would he imprison you in your physical form? A foundation of faith is necessary and is made for the purpose of upliftment, so that one's scattered attention can be withdrawn to a certain point. I often give the example of a pipe with many holes in it through which the water escapes. If you seal all the holes except one, naturally the water will gush forth from that one in full force, would it not? We are in need of love from that kind of personality. Excuse me, but a guru has no need of our love, for his love is joined in God. But whosoever will turn his face toward the guru will benefit from that love he has for God. You may have heard of the great soul, Bheek, who had a devotee. For the true disciple, the guru is God, he is everything. So this disciple ignored all other names for God and just repeated, Ya Bheek, Ya Bheek. This happened during the time of Muslim rule, and one day the qazi or priest called the disciple over and asked him, Who is your God? The man replied, Bheek. Then he questioned, Who is your master? The man replied, Bheek. On hearing these answers, the priest declared that the man was an atheist and should be beheaded. Now all execution cases had to go before the king, and when his case was called, the disciple was brought before the king in his palace. The king saw that there was some kind of intoxication in the man's eyes, and he asked him the same question, Who is your God? Who is your master? And the disciple replied in the same manner, Bheek. The king then ordered that the man be released from his fetters, at which the officer of the guard protested that the man would run away. But the king waved this aside, saying, Don't worry about that. When the man was released, the king spoke to him, saying, Look here, brother, there is a great drought in my country. And if you could tell your Bheek to send us some rain, then the people's suffering would be relieved. The disciple at once said, Yes, all right, I will tell him. He had great faith in his guru. Does not a small child have all faith in his mother? With full confidence, he will say, Oh, I will get it from my mother. It is through such an attitude of absolute faith that one becomes a guru. So the king asked the disciple, When will you come back here? The man replied, The day after tomorrow. The king said, All right, go. The very next day the rain started, and it rained so much that water and earth became one. On the third day the disciple returned to the palace as promised, and the king told him, It is due to the great benevolence of your Bheek that we have received rain. Take these deeds to 21 villages and give them to your master. The disciple was shocked and said, I should take those perishable books to my Bheek? Perishable goods to my Bheek? It can't be done. This is a story which relates an example of Guru Bhakti. Actually, when he had gone to his Bheek, the master told him, O madman, when you could see I was absorbed, you should have asked for something else. Do you understand? He could have asked for his own spiritual upliftment. He who cannot get absorbed in the ultimate Lord, but is only absorbed in the world, what can he give? He can give only that which is of the world. What else? He himself is trapped, and you also will remain trapped. Only accept a guru after you have come to know that he is genuine. Do not worry if you have to spend your whole life in that search, for that time will be credited to you as bhakti. If you connect yourself to the wrong place, however, your whole life will be wasted. Is there a criterion to judge a perfect guru? For one thing, the soul becomes still in his presence, even if for a little while. Seeing whom the mind is stilled. His name is Satguru. And furthermore, he will give you the demonstration, will withdraw your attention or soul from outer things, will withdraw it from the sense level, and will then give you something inside, a glimpse of the Lord, which is light and sound. When the sound comes from the higher planes, know that he is my Guru Dev. Anyone can give lectures, stories from the scriptures, outer practices, this and that. Our Hazur used to say, what is there in giving the five names? Even a little girl of the spinning wheel can do that. He would explain things with great love. In what then is Guru Bhakti? In keeping the word of the Guru. But this we do not want to do. The Guru says that one should introspect one's life. He also says that one should give time for meditation. If a person did not get any food, he would become desperate for it and would feel that he must have it, no matter from where it comes. If one gets the bread of the soul and does not eat it, what a shameful thing. What can be said of such a person? The reply from such people is always the same. I did not have the time. Excuse me, but who is it that has to die? You? Or can someone else do it for you? If the physical body needs food, one will go into torments of hunger. If the intellect is hungry, nights and days are willingly expended to feed it. But for the hungry soul, even if the bread is given, it is not eaten because there is no time. Before you realize that the end will be here, and with deep regret, one leaves the body and goes out of this life. The medicine was given, but was locked away in a cupboard. How then could the illness be cured? He who becomes learned while living in the world will remain learned when he leaves. He who is illiterate in life, can he be learned at death? Know that you have met a guru when attachment, fires of the body, and distress all leave. When have you experienced the guru? When attachment leaves, you will then know that you have truly met the guru. When your children die, you cry. When poverty comes into your life, you cry. When there is no praise or respect coming to you, you cry again. If you are in such a turmoil, how can it be that you have met the Guru? When one rises above the physical form, then one can say that one has met the Guru within. Save yourself from the outer fires of the body, of the desires of the world and other worlds. When you are free from all this, you will know that you have met the Guru. At present, you have met him physically only. You have not seen him. Excuse me, but actually you have not yet met him. Nanak says, he who has met the Satguru has his written destiny erased. This is indication of a meeting. If a person has met him within, why would he return to this world? He will no longer be the enjoyer, but will be the one who sees him. We read the books, but must try to truly understand them, and then make that understanding a part of our lives. See for yourself where you stand. If someone tells you that you are a great devotee, of what value is that? The only result from such things is an increase in the volume of ego, vanity, and pride. Do not forget what you really are. There was once a king's minister who was previously only a simple grass cutter for whom the king had regard, and he had promoted him in his service. Whenever the minister had a little free time, he would enter a small room, remove all his fine court clothes, put on a simple loincloth, and place his old cutting scythe before him. He would cry, "O God, before thee I have no status." Some of the other courtiers, incited by jealousy, would sneeringly remark to the king, "Just see, you respect this man so much that he is only a grass cutter after all, and he has not forgotten it." But the actions of his favorite minister pleased the king, who told the critics, "It is true what you say. He is the only man who has not forgotten his true self." If the disciple becomes something better, the credit is the guru's, for it happened by his grace, and the praise should go to him. If the guru were not to give, then, when people come to me, I tell them, "Brothers, up to now he is giving, but who knows about tomorrow?" There is hope, of course. The giver is God. The sender is God. Where, then, does this I-hood enter the matter? Doing our wrath again and again, we incur his pleasure and receive the treasure of his love. In the meaning of arath, there is first ah, which means come, and then rath, which means to be absorbed. To withdraw the attention and become absorbed in the greater attention, this is the real meaning of arath. When the arath is successful, the guru can see that the soul has withdrawn from everything and has entered the darkness. Then its own greatness unfolds. So, as it states in the Gurbani, the first lesson is to obey the guru. Lose yourself in him, and when he starts coming, then forget yourself entirely and absorb yourself in him. A certain Persian prophet says that his heart became so full of God that he knew not if it were himself or him. In this condition, there is no I nor you. He also says that when the guru manifests within, the disciple becomes emperor of the three planes. Until he appears within, there is no real development. On the same subject, another master says, "The guru has revealed the true light within, through which all my illusion has gone." When the drop becomes one with the wave, and the wave is absorbed back into the ocean, there you will find the true meaning of arath. Nowadays, people merely light some lamps and perform arti by some outer custom. Absorb yourself in the one in whom that light is manifested and forget yourself in him. When the separate condition of I and you is no longer there, that can be called guru bhakti. This is the last feat to be achieved. St. Paul said, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." The disciple sees within his own physical form that the guru sees within his own physical form that the guru is sitting there, and this is the culmination of guru bhakti. They tell us that we must do guru bhakti, and then we will get the nam. To meet the guru within, that is nam. That is the ever-present manifestation of nam. For For instance, somewhere there is water, somewhere there is ice, somewhere else steam. If you rub ice, it becomes water. If you rub water, friction occurs and it turns into steam. The same single thing has three faces. That which is seen outwardly, we call him the guru. Like the priest, he folds his hands in greeting. He loves, he gives comfort, and even sheds tears at times. The guru's aim is to take the soul within. But when he works in the various inner planes, that is called Gurudev. Satguru is omnipotent. Different stages, each with its own expression, but understand that he is the God in man, and nothing other than that. In the human pole, he is God manifesting through man. When the power withdraws, it is if hundreds of bulbs were all switched off by a single switch. The ever-existent God is everywhere, and when he works through the brain center, then consciousness fully awakens. When that withdraws, the end comes. He functions in us similarly. Do you understand my words? How can these things be unraveled and placed before you when they are related to a practical subject? However, through right understanding, one can get a small glimpse of the facts. But intoxication can only be enjoyed by receiving it. And when does that happen? When the Guru Bhakti starts. Radha Swami says, "Oh, listen, you have received now the boon of bhakti." Swamiji tells us that the Lord himself, sitting in the human pole, says that we have now got the boon of devotion. This is what the God in the Guru says. The question now arises, to whom is this devotion given? Devotion to the Lord will take one to the lap of the Lord. Where is the devotion? It lies within our true self. We have only to change direction. The direction of the surat, or attention. Attention is the soul's nectar. Attention is the soul's expression, in which he is apparent. Full of the pure nectar of love, in the master's company, the desire is born. The master, in whom love for the Lord is swelling, surging, keep his company. In that company, this small drop will mingle with the wave and become one with it. And that wave is of the ocean, and so it will go back to the ocean. There is a prayer of Guru Amar Das Ji which says, "Cursed be such a life in which love for God was not achieved." What conclusion did Guru Amar Das reach after more than 70 years of searching? This was his conclusion, that 1,000 curses should be upon the life wherein, after receiving the precious human birth, the love for the Lord was not awakened. This love for God can grow in the human life alone and in none other. Doing that work in which God is forgotten, one gets attached elsewhere. All those actions which lead us into the realm of duality and ignorance make us forget the Lord. 1,000 curses on such actions. What are the good actions then? Those through which our attention is directed nearer to God. Bad actions lead us further away from him. You are not asked to leave your hearth and home and go into jungles and lonely places. All that is necessary is, no matter what work you may do, the needle of your compass should be constantly pointing to the north, to God, so that he is never forgotten. Leaving worldly responsibilities and duties does not mean you have freed yourself. The attachments which result from the worldly life must be severed while living amid the world. Achieving such detachment while living an ordinary life is true renunciation. And when is that achieved? When one gets connected in one direction. The true meaning of renunciation is to be connected with one thing and renounce all else, nothing more. In which direction should we be connected? That which leads us on the right path. And what is the right path? Nam is, the realized soul is, the God Guru is. This is permanent, unchanging. All the rest is perishable and ever-changing. If one gets connected to a realized soul, one's direction will be changed toward God. If one gets connected to the God Guru, one's direction is changed. But also in the God Guru, God has manifested and radiates. If the drop has some inclination toward the wave, and the wave is in the ocean, then finally it will become that same tranquility. To connect your attention to such a personality will be to your betterment. If the attention remains unconnected, one is still subject to the coming and going of creation. So he tells us quite frankly that if after being given this human life, we do not develop the love for God and continue to perform such actions which lead us into the realm of duality and ignorance and thereby forget him, then our life deserves 1,000 curses. Serve such a Satguru, O mind, through whom the love of God is born, and all else abandoned. One should therefore love the Satguru, for in loving the Satguru, the love for God is automatically developed. The Satguru, the one in whom the love of God is abounding, overflowing with the nectar of love, yearning is born in his company. As you think, so you become. I have already given you two examples. The remembrance of one person renders the sins of the world remote, but with a greater remembrance, all else is forgotten. Hence, with the latter type of remembrance, one becomes clean. It is through loving him that the love for God develops, the love that is such that the whole world is forgotten. And this is the criterion of Guru Bhakti. When love for a single thing becomes so powerful, would not renunciation of all else occur? So remember that a renunciate is not a person who leaves his home and duties to live in the jungles. The true meaning of the word is to have one's attention on a single object to the extent of forgetting all else. And one should focus one's attention on that which is permanent, the true essence. That is imperishable, and you will also reach that status. By any other methods, birth and death will continue. We can only consider ourselves safe when we have reached a state above births and deaths. It is written that Malze Room did not become Malana Room until he became the slave of Shamas Tabriz. Similarly, Raja Janak's name is remembered down through history because he found Ashtavakra. Until Arjuna met Lord Krishna, his life was not so illustrious. The same observation can be made for the life of Swami Vivekananda, who blossomed under the guidance of his guru, Ramakrishna. Brothers, life comes from life. It is very clear. The life of a disciple is his guru. If he is in tune to his guru from within, he becomes his mouthpiece. Then only can he call himself a disciple, otherwise not. Up to now, excuse me, we are but disciples of the mind. And to close, I'll read one short prayer from the book, Prayer. My beloved Lord, grant me millions of ears that I may hear thy praises forever. Hearing it purifies the mind and snaps the bondage of time. All bondage ends by constantly meditating on the ever-present, and then comes in rejoicing and true knowledge. By constantly repeating his name, we become concentrated into an effortless state of bliss. Remembrance of the Lord burns away all sins, and evil thoughts fly as by an enchanter driven. Nanak prayeth, Lord, be kind, that men may hear the voice of the ever-present word. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Christine, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 73 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.